Hello and blessings to you in Jesus' name. There are a lot of narratives out in the world today. Some we may agree with and some we may not agree with. The world we live in today has its own way of looking at things, just as they did in biblical times past. In ancient biblical times, mankind had his way of seeing and thinking, even if it didn't line up with the Lord and his word. Mankind did things his own way, according to his purpose and his plans. The word of God was present at that time, as it is now. But they still do their own thing. They still did their own thing then, as they are doing today. We look and see. Look and see that it's a world full of us versus them. Things that are sinful in God's sight are not sinful in mankind's sight. The word says that it is evil and bad, but mankind says it's good and the thing to do. Mankind is inspired and tempted by good and evil today, just as they were in ancient times. Just look around. It's everywhere you turn, good versus evil. You know, Jesus said hot or cold, that's a choice. Hot water, cold water. Hot food, cold food. There's a choice. He said, you are with me or you're against me. That's a choice. You're either with him or you're against him. There is no in between. Mankind has a choice to make, whether good or bad. Either way, choices are being made. You see, mankind will dress up evil and package it as something good. The word says it's evil and packs it as such. There is no hidden agenda in the word of God. He says what he means and means what he says. Mankind has hidden agendas because he understands that if you know the truth, you may not agree with him. So he's got a trick, hide, deceive to get you into believing things. So what does he do? He hides it in the packaging or the delivery. But what's the message? You see, don't focus on the delivery. What is mankind really saying? What is mankind really saying? Does it line up with the word of God? Our fuel is titled, It's the Word of God. Whose word will you choose, his or theirs? Our first scripture is going to come from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, and it says, For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and it is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, this is how God's word is described to us. It's very clear, and there is no need for interpretation. He tells us exactly what the Word of God is and what it does. Living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. What else? It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How can anyone think they are hiding anything from God? You see, it's all covered. Nothing that mankind can come up with escapes the Word of God. The Word of God will unpack and show you what it truly is. Don't be deceived by the false packaging that's out there in the world today. Allow the Word of God to expose it for what it really is. Good or evil. Children of God, either it's good in God's sight or it's evil in God's sight. And we got to see it through his sight, not to get ourselves caught up. Let's take a look at some examples. Our first one comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 32, verses 6 through 15. And it reads, And Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Now, why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Thus, your fathers did when I sent them away to Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. So the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore an oath, saying, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt, from 20 years old and above, shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel. He made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. And look, you have risen in your father's place, a brood of sinful men, to increase still more the fierce anger of the Lord against Israel? For if you turn away from following him, he will once again leave them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all these people. That's what the word of God tells us. You see, in the eyes of the Lord, it was an evil report. Caleb and Joshua saw different. Those two followed the Lord. Think about this. There was 12 representatives from 12 tribes. They were sent to spy out the land and come back with a report. 10 of the 12 had an evil report, according to the Lord's sight. Although the 10 are more than the two, they were wrong. In the Lord's sight, the report they gave was evil. They were the majority, right? We'll come back to that. Here's a prime example of mankind and his view. The 10 said different than what the Lord was saying. Think about this for a second. People today say, oh, it's no big deal when you sin. But the word says, for the wages of sin is death. Look at how wide of a difference these two views are apart, not even close. You see, God's view and man's view. But hey, it's the word of God that is true and trustworthy. Don't be deceived by what appears to be the majority, because mankind as a whole cannot measure up to God Almighty, which makes mankind, what? The minority, not the majority. A whole generation did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now I ask you, according to what we just read, did it go unpunished? No, absolutely not. He dealt with it. The Lord dealt with that, just as he will deal with things today. Our next example comes from Judges chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. And it reads, now, these are the nations which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them, that is, all who had known any of the wars in Canaan. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it. Namely, 5 lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites who dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal, Hermon, to the entrance of Hamath. And they were left, that he might test Israel by them, to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Verse 5. Thus the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. Uh-oh. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherahs. I probably butchered that. Help me out. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan, the Cushan king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served. You guys, I'm going to just say this first thing because it's hard to pronounce this last one. Cushan, for 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cushan. So the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So, what happened? Verse 6, and they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. What happened? Yeah, they mixed with the people of the land and served their gods. But didn't the Lord say that you shall have no other gods before me? And they did what? Yeah, they served other gods. You see, and that was evil in the sight of the Lord. What do we hear today? Love is love. Anything that your heart desires goes. Not when it says different than what the word of the Lord says. We see in this example, the Lord sees it one way and man sees it his way. Was it dealt with? Absolutely, yes, it was. Why? It's the word of God. Verse 12, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek, went and defeated Israel, and took possession of the city of palms. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them. Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. By him, the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Well, you guys, they did it again. Evil in the sight of the Lord. They did their own thing against the word of the Lord. Again, I ask, did he deal with it? Absolutely, yes, he dealt with it. Why? He says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I do not change. So if the people of today are doing evil in the sight of the Lord, will they be dealt with just like those in the past? Absolutely, yes. He dealt with it then, he'll deal with it now. He is the Lord, and he says, I do not change. Evil is evil in his sight. Again, don't be deceived by the package. Don't be deceived by the package. Now we're going to close this out by what the Word of God says. What the Word of God says. Why? Because it's the Word of God. Now, Here are some mankind sayings and beliefs of today compared to what the Word of God says. In our first example, this is mankind. Coexist. There are many ways to heaven and God. And by the way, I use a lower case G God because they're not talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because they said there are many ways to him. But the word of God says in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Example 2. Here's what mankind says. You can love and marry who you choose. Same-sex dating and marriage is okay. It's a great thing to do. But the word of God says in Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And then in Leviticus 18:22, it says, you shall not lie with a male as if a woman. It is an abomination. Our third example. Mankind says, me, myself, and I, we can do anything we want. The word of God says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Our next example. Here's mankind. That's not sin. It's love. Oh, it's cool to do your own thing. You see, because God loves me just the way I am. Or God loves you just the way you are. The word of God says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 8:11 says, she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Leviticus 20:7 says, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Next example. Mankind, and this is all out here everywhere, there are more than two genders. And the sad thing about it, I've heard those who are in the body of Christ say that there are more than two genders. Let's pray for them as well. Because mankind says there are more than two genders. But the word of God says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I count two. How about you? The word of God says two, male and female. Stand with the word of God. Our next example. Here's another hot one going on in the world today. This is what mankind says. You see, oh, there was a mistake. You're not really supposed to be a male, but a female. You're not really supposed to be a female, but a male. Yes, I understand. Your feelings are 100% correct. That's what we hear out there in the world today, right? That's what mankind is saying. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, children of God, the word of God says in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Psalms 139 verse 14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. And then again, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. You see, God didn't make any mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. Amen. Here's another hot topic for mankind. They stink. Darn. And hurt me really bad. I will never, ever forgive them for what they did. Really? The word of God says in Matthew 6:15, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's not a spot you want to be in. Next example. Mankind says, it's my life, it's my mouth, I can do and say anything I want, when I want, and against who I want. And because, matter of fact, because you disagree with me, you're nothing to me. You're nothing. The word of God tells us this. Proverbs 18:1, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Watch what you say. In Matthew 12:31-32, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. So can they just say anything they want about whoever they want? Not according to the word of God. Next example. We just keep getting these hot topics. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Mankind says, my body, my choice. I can do what I want when I want. Or they don't matter. They're not a person yet. Have you heard that out there in the world? Yeah, me too. But the word of God says in Genesis 1:28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on earth. Fruitful and multiply. He didn't say take away. He said add. He said add. Didn't he? He said add. Hallelujah. Our next verse. Genesis 45:10 says, you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. You hear that? Your children, your children's children. That's talking about children, children, children. That's ongoing. That's not stopping. That's multiplying. That's ongoing. Next one, Exodus 1:7. But the children of Israel were fruitful and what? Increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty in the land was filled with them. See, because the Lord said be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say stop. But that's what they want to happen today. They want it to stop. Exodus 3:10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, who? The children of Israel, out of Egypt. He still calls them children. And it said out there that the Lord didn't address abortion in his word. And we have all these scriptures so far that's addressing it. Next one, Psalm 14:2. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the who? Children of men, to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Psalm 36:7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Put your trust in God, not man. Mark 7:27. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And they say children don't matter. Mark 9:37. Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Amen. Mark 10:13-14. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. What? But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. That verse right there, ladies and gentlemen, when they talk about abortion, he said, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them. What happens when they take a young life? They just went against the scripture right here, didn't they? They went against what Jesus, he said, do not forbid them to come to me. But when you don't even give that kid a chance, that's exactly what you did. You see, he covers it in his word. Nothing's hidden. He's got an answer for everything in his word. Amen. Our next example, John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. That's how important children are to the Most High. Amen. Mark 10, 17. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them and blessed them. Who? The children, the little children. Jesus took them up in his arms and blessed them. That's how important children are to God. Matthew 18, 6. But whoever causes one of these little ones, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, I don't know about you, that doesn't sound like that feels good at all. To have a millstone around your neck and drown in the depth of the sea. Jesus said it's better that that happens to you than to cause a little one who believe in him to sin. You see, man's not going to tell you that. They're going to tell you it's okay to do children the way they're doing them. What's going on out there in the world. He sees it. And you best believe he's going to deal with it. God loves his children. There are many, many more views by mankind that say different than the word of God. We, as his children, must stand with the Lord and his word. You guys, and myself included, do not answer them out of emotions, feelings, or the, I gotta get my two cents in. No, no, no. Answer them with the word of God. You see, keep it simple and sweet and plain, just as Jesus did. The answer is what? It's the word of God. I pray for you in Jesus' name. God's grace be upon you to stand with him and his word. God's favor and strength be upon you to stand with him and his word. That you submit to God and his word. That you speak with boldness from Holy Spirit and say without wavering, it's the word of God. For with God, all things are possible, and walk by faith, not sight. May the hand of the living God protect, lead, cover, and supply your needs according to his will. God bless you always. And remember, it's the word of God. Pastor Tyron, signing off.